Before we turn the service over to Brother Wade with his message this morning, I don't know why, but I have one other person that somehow just has come to my mind, especially as we think about singing this hymn and we're praying for peace, because there's always been the need for peace in different parts of the world, and you know, my heart is so touched and loaded with everything with Ukraine right now. But one of our young brothers, a pastor that we're supporting, have just started supporting. Young man has a wife, two children, and they have had to move three times because of the war. They had to move and took this whole congregation when they moved out of Donetsk in 2014. They moved just over into occupied Donetsk region. Lived there been serving his church, serving youth in the towns. Then, of course, when this last invasion came, they had to move again. They moved into a temporary place in central Ukraine. And then as the war increased, they moved again. But that's not what I have on my mind to pray about. He and his wife have just adopted a special needs child, 3 years old. Beautiful little girl. Just pray for them with all that they have gone through and all of that, that they've experienced here in these last years. He's a young man. He's in his 30s. That's young. And so pray for him and his family. I thought with everything going on and yet for them to feel such a burden to adopt this little girl and to take her into their home. And pray for peace, you know, even where they are. And the city they are in over in the farthest you can go just about in western Ukraine. And yet that city has been hit with missiles too. So just pray for them and this family, young family. I'll give you Eugene, and I'll give you their name to put on the prayer list. Grisham is the last name. A wonderful young man. We've known him. I've known him for 20 years. And he was a teenager when we first met him. And now he's a servant of the Lord. So pray for him and his family. And now let's pray for our pastor as he brings us a message.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Can you hear me okay? Well, I certainly wish that I was there with everybody today, and I want to thank all of you who have made preparations for our services to continue while I'm out here. Thank you, Brother Pat, Brother Walter. I hope and pray that I can come across well enough that we can glory in the reading of God's words this morning. So please pray for me as we go through this, and I want to thank everybody also for the prayers that have already been spoken and said. You know, when you hear the prayers of other people, it touches your hearts. And as we come together on this second observation of the Advent, which is we're talking about peace today, hearing others pray should give us all peace in our hearts, because we hear the thoughts and the expressions of love that we have. And as Brother Brandon prayed, the most important reason that we come together and we celebrate this season is because of Jesus Christ. And when we try to contemplate and think of the love that Christ has for us, we should be overwhelmed with peace and love in our hearts. And I hope and pray that I can bring that message to you this morning about the peace that we should have in our hearts, even though we live in a war-torn world and things are always difficult. We need to be focused on Christ, because he is the provider of our peace. And if we go through the Bible and we start examining the different places where we are told that we will have peace, I want to bring to your attention this morning all of these things that are said. In our opening scripture, in our call to worship, we read from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 2, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Lord Jesus Christ. It is only through Jesus Christ that we can experience peace. We need to look to him to find the peace that we need to be the types of people that he has commanded us to be, I want to look at that in just a little while too. But as we go forward from now, you can turn with us in your Bibles if you have them. As we go through the PowerPoint, I want to read the very scriptures where we are told that we can find peace, and it's because we have peace is because of the promises of God. Last week we looked at hope. We don't hope in ourselves. We hope in what God has promised to us, his children. And when we look to him, we can find peace because he has promised us peace. The very first passage where we find this is in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. So let's read together, and then we'll move forward about how we find peace through this and in other various passages in the Bible. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This passage, one of the most beautiful passages of the prophecy of the prediction of Jesus Christ that was made by Isaiah. We have all these wonderful descriptions of Jesus being the Prince of Peace. But there's something significant that I want you to notice in this passage. We have peace here. And this is always the case throughout all the Bible. We have peace, folks, because God moved first. And I want you to think about that for just a moment. God moved first. You see, he chose to give us his son, Jesus Christ. Look at the verse 6 in the passage we just read, Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. God gave his only begotten son, so that whomsoever believeth on him shall never perish. God moved first, folks. He moved because he loved us. 1 John chapter 4 tells us that we love him because he first loved us. It is the Lord himself who moves to save his people, to bless his people, to give peace to his people. And we can find that same validation again back up in verse 10 of 1 John. Herein is that love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the reconciliation for our sins. God knows us, he knows our needs, and he wants us to look to him in recognition of what he has done for us. Because when we start looking to him and we realize that it is God who does everything, we don't try to depend upon ourselves. Worldly peace will always fail when we look to us and God is not in it. But when we look to God to be the author of our faith and of the peace in our hearts, we will have that contentment. We will have that love that we can't find anywhere else. We love him because he loved us first. And he loved us so much that he sent his son to be the reconciliation for our sins. And see, it's not dependent upon us. But we know this is a promise of God. And that should give us peace. God's promises cannot fail. All his promises have come to pass or will come to pass. It is inevitable. Isaiah, if you go back up to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, we read again of this inevitability. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You see, the promises of God are everlasting. Jesus Christ is everlasting. We can only find peace, true peace in our hearts, when we focus and build our life around Jesus Christ. He and only he is the Prince of Peace. And we must never forget, as we look at all of these wonderful descriptions of Jesus, to be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We must never forget Jesus can do all this because he is the Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And only Jesus Christ, only Jesus is worthy. Only Jesus could do that. And we find that in Revelations. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 through 14, as John was given this wonderful revelation, and as he looks, the passages in Revelation, they're not time dependent, because they cover a vast period of time from before Jesus came till after he came. And we have this marvelous description in Revelation chapter 5. Now, when he had taken the scroll, that's Jesus who took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our gods, and we shall reign on the earth." You see, folks, we have peace because what Jesus has done for us. Jesus satisfied the debt that was owed to God for sin. He took that upon himself when he was slain, and by his blood he redeemed us. And if you notice, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, so no matter where we're scattered across this earth, God's people are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he gave that to his children. God moved first. And folks, if we focus on what he's done for us, he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son. It should not only make us feel love towards him, towards the Father, but we should be at peace. Because our peace that's in our hearts should transcend the immediate circumstances of our lives. It should be more enveloping than whatever circumstances we are currently in. Think about what he has done for us, and where that thought of following Jesus and his words and believing on his promises and the promises for peace. Think of what he's done for us and the promises we find in the Bible. If we go back to Romans, to chapter 8, in verse 30. "Moreover, whom he predestinated, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." You know, there's so much written in that passage, and as Primitive Baptists, we adopt we cling tightly to the doctrines of grace and of God's predestination plan for all of his children. But there's so much in here. Those who he called, who he has revealed himself to, he loved us, he justified us, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. As sons and daughters of God, we have been justified through him, that's Jesus Christ again, and we are glorified in him, and we are blessed by him, and we have peace in our hearts, when that is the true focal point of our lives. When we look at ourselves not as just whatever our occupations are, or whatever our current stance in life is at this moment, when we look at ourselves as a child of God, we're in the hands of the Creator. We're in the hands of the Good Shepherd. We're in the hands of the one whose eye is on the sparrow, and it is on us too. You see, we have no reasons to not have peace in our hearts, because it's not dependent on us and worldly things where we find our peace. Our peace is founded on the promises of God and the evidence that we have in his word of what he has already done for us. We have been justified through Jesus Christ. And if we have been justified through him, we are glorified in him, and we need to glorify God by the way we live our lives. And when we live our life as God has commanded us to, we will have peace in our hearts. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, in this wonderful chapter, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." You know, it's just one statement. But blessed are the peacemakers. You know, to be a peacemaker, we have to put God first in our life, don't we? Because we have to try to start looking at other people differently. It's not always about us. You see, when we attempt to make peace, we are glorifying God. And Jesus goes on to say, "For they shall be called sons of God." You know, we're commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves. To learn to do that, sometimes it's a lifelong process. But when we love our neighbor as ourselves, we try to make peace. And in our call to worship, we were told to, as much as is dependent upon us, live peaceably with all people. We need to let the word of God permeate our lives to the point that we don't get upset over everything that happens to us in life. We need to live our lives with contentment and with joy. And that comes when God's children, if we, you know, in this passage, he calls us, they shall be called the sons of God. That includes daughters too. So as sons and daughters of God, we need to be looking to Jesus for every motivation in our life, for the decisions in our life, for the way we live our life, because he has given us all the commandments that we need. And when we rest in the faith that he has also given us, which is a gift of God, we will have that peace that motivates us to love greater than what we are would be able to live and love without it, to keep his commandments to the best of our abilities, to look to him first in our lives and remember the promises that he has given us, which should give us confidence and comfort and peace in our hearts. We need to look to him for everything. And when we are looking to God, we're not looking at ourselves, things change. Proverbs 16:7 tells us, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. You know, you didn't make your enemies to be at peace necessarily by the things that you have done. Well, that's proven throughout the Old Testament. But when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies are made to be at peace with him. And if we love properly, you see, we shouldn't necessarily want vengeance on our enemies or harm on our enemies. No, we should be able to love our enemies because we were told to love our enemies and pray for our enemies. And if we do that, isn't that the best thing that could possibly happen? Not to have arguments and confrontations, but for peace to reign. To have peace with those who are considered our enemies. To find common ground with them. We should be praying for them. When we pray for our enemies as we have been commanded to do, those are the ways that please God, and he will handle it from there. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 tells us a similar thing. And this is important. Notice the nuances in this passage. Here the prophet Isaiah is giving us this passage, and he's referring to what God has said. You, that is the Lord, will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You see how trust and peace link together, and his mind is stayed on you. You see, inner peace begins with our relationship with God. How much do you trust the Lord? When things aren't going well in your life, do you look to him? When we look to him, we may still have some momentary issues and problems. We aren't promised a trouble-free life in this world, but we can have that peace in our hearts knowing that God is with us. You see, we need to personalize this verse and use a little bit more applicable language to you as an individual. The verse reads, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. We'll personalize it in this way. God will keep me in perfect peace as my mind focuses on him and trust him. That's what stayed on him means. When you are stayed, when those who are stayed on God is because he is the focus of our life. And our inner peace grows and flourishes through our faith and love for God and by focusing on the Lord, our relationship with God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. That is the first and great commandment. Love the Lord with all your heart. When we love him and we are focused on him and we walk with him daily in our path, We should have peace in our hearts because of all the promises he's given, but because we also feel that tangible relationship of the love of the Father in our hearts. And folks, we do that when we focus on God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 tells us, "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." You see, that's a behavior, isn't it? It's also, you can take it as a command. What are we to do? How are we to behave? Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. When we focus on things of the earth, we're not going to have much peace in our life because as we focus on things of the earth, it pulls us away from God. When we set our minds on things above, we are focused on things above. And there's another way that you could actually phrase this, at least in my opinion. When we are focused on things above, we are walking in the Spirit while we are living in this world. Let me say it one more time. When we are focused on things above, when we are focused on God and all the commandments he's given us and all the promises he's given us, the love we feel when we focus on God's word, when we are focused on those things that are above, we are walking in the Spirit while we are living in this world. And folks, that should give us peace in our hearts. Because again, it is God who moves first that enables us to do this. In Romans 8:14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." God moves first. He gave us the gift of faith. He gives us the Holy Spirit to help guide us and direct us. He gave us the promises of Jesus Christ. And when we focus on those things above, all the materialism of the world doesn't mean that much to us. Yes, we can enjoy this wonderful life that the Lord gives us and of the blessings and abundance that he gives us. But don't we love and thank the one who gives more than the things he's given? We thank the Creator, our Lord and Father above. When we are led by the Spirit, when we are walking in the Spirit in this world, being led by him, we are sons and daughters of God. And it should be evidence in our life. And when we notice what those evidences are, it should give us peace. Galatians tells us the evidence of being of those that walk in the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You see, that's what all of these things come together to uphold the second commandment that Jesus said. The first and the greatest, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself is the second one. When we are loving our neighbor as ourselves, we are enabled to do this by the Spirit that God puts in us. And when we do that, we will have joy. We will have peace. We will be patient and long-suffering with people. We will be exhibiting and extending kindness to people, just as God has done to us. You know, when we look at these behaviors that we are supposed to be exhibiting towards others, don't we all recognize that God is this way with us? If we are a child of God, shouldn't we be exhibiting the same type of wonderful blessings to others that God has shown to us? Gentleness and self-control. When we live a life like this, there is no law that can condemn us. You see, when we live like this, when we are walking in the Spirit, we have peace regardless of the circumstances, and our behavior will reflect that. I think as we start to consider all of what God has done for us and all the reasons that we have peace, which is through Jesus Christ. He is a Prince of Peace. He was promised to us. He died for us. He has loved us before the foundation of the world. He has given us faith to understand and to know these things. We are children of the Lord. And as children of God, we should have peace in our hearts as we live this life that he has given to us. And in Philippians, we are told to to rejoice in what he's done for us. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. If we stop with just those two verses, rejoice always in the Lord. You know, in another passage, we said, give thanks to God in all circumstances. It doesn't matter our circumstances. God is with us. This life is not where we are fixed forever. No, this is just a temporary journey. Our home, our hope is with Jesus Christ and our Father above. We should be rejoicing because God is able to do all things. And he has given us promises, and we can cling to those promises. Verse 5 again says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Here Paul was talking about the Lord's return is at hand. Nobody knows when the exact day may be, but you can also take that the Lord is at hand. He is with us everywhere we go. He is with us, folks, and we cannot hide from him. There is nothing that can separate us from God's love. The Lord is always with us. He is at hand. So when we know that God is with us, we can live out what we find in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your hearts and your mind through Jesus Christ. What a wonderful passage that is. It should give us comfort and relaxations. It should take away any anxiousness and anxiety. Because here it's a prescription of how we are supposed to live. We're not supposed to be anxious in this life because God has given us all that we need to live a godly life. And then in the rest of the sentence, in everything, meaning every aspect, every part, every portion of our life, by prayer and supplication. See, prayer and supplication means you're looking up. You're looking to God. And with thanksgiving for what God has already blessed you with, and really it should be thanksgiving for what he will bless you with, because we believe in his promises. And each day he gives us life, we know that those promises will give us the things that we need. Let your request be made known to God with thanksgiving in your heart, and by praying and with supplications. And you know, when we do that, the requests we make known to God will be of the mind of God. If we pray for worldly things, folks, we're missing the mark. We need to be setting our sights on things above. That's where we find peace. And when we do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You know, Brother Pat was talking about this young man who has moved his congregation now for three times. And all of the uncertainty and the anxiety and the horrible conditions that our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine are living through. But yet he had compassion in his heart on this special needs little girl. What a wonderful story. What an example of how we should love one another as ourselves. You see, he has peace in his heart, not because he's relying on his own abilities or necessarily the abilities of the Ukrainian government to shield and protect him. No, he's looking to God. He set his sights on things above, and by praying and through supplications, he's made his request known to God. And you see, when we do that, that peace of God will lead us when we don't understand how. But he is there. The Spirit will lead his children when we are focused on him. We need to look to Jesus Christ. You see, it is through Jesus Christ, the main focal point of our life, the reason that we celebrate Christmas, because it is the fulfillment of the promises that God gave us. He gave us his Son to reconcile us to himself. Because, folks, we couldn't pay the price for our own sin. Only God could do that. So as we think about all God has done for us, we should be anxious for nothing, as Paul told us in the former verses. And now he goes on to tell us, meditate on these things. If we are to be the examples that other people will view, who will see Christ in us, in this Christmas season, when we need to be spreading hope and peace and love and our faith in Jesus Christ, as we do that in our lives, meditate on these things. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, Paul gave an example, and we need to be giving that same example to others too. That example of our faith in Jesus Christ, the example of living a peaceable life where, whenever possible, a life where we look to God in faith, believing and relying on His promises, knowing that He is always with us. You see, when we live like this, when we focus on Him and the things above first, and then on the things of this life, of everything that Paul just described, we are peacemakers. And people will see that in our life, and they can find comfort and peace through the examples that they see in us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 again. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. You see, when other people see God's light shining in us, we are fulfilling what He's told us to do, to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. When we do these things, there's something that happens to us. There is a blessing. It says we are blessed are the peacemakers. And I want you to understand one of the blessings that comes. And again, we can lift our hearts and our voice towards God, towards heaven, and say, how great thou art. Look at the blessing that comes. When we are peacemakers, when we are obeying God's word and walking in the Spirit, the peace of God will allow us to look at others through the eyes of Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. When we start looking at our neighbors through the eyes of Christ, we'll have compassion. We'll love our neighbor like ourselves. We'll be like that young man in the Ukraine who is doing such a wonderful thing for that special needs child. You see, we will be loving and giving and compassionate. We will be peacemakers. And we are blessed to see others as Jesus sees them. But we are blessed because Jesus sees the way that we love, the way we give, and the Word tells us God loves a cheerful giver. As we start to close, Jesus made another promise to us in John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, Jesus has promised He is always with us. What do we have to be afraid of? The peace of Jesus in our hearts is not the way the world defines peace. It's not an absence of struggles or problems and troubles in our life. It is a faith and confidence that Jesus is with us in the storms and struggles of life, because He promised He is always with us. So we know that no matter what we are facing, the Lord Himself is with us, and He is greater than anything that we're facing. When Jesus is with us in our hearts, and we carry the peace of Christ that comes in believing and obeying His promises, we can walk through that valley of the shadow of death with confidence, because whether it's in this life or in the next, we belong to God, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. A promise that should give you peace because of what I just said. John chapter 5, Verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Folks, if you believe that, you have been given the gift of faith. We are God's children. We believe his word. We believe in God who sent Jesus Christ. There is no judgment for those who are in Christ. We will have everlasting life. And that should give us a peace in our hearts to look above our circumstances and to remember what God has promised us, to try to live by the commandments that he has given us to the best of our abilities. And every day with thanksgiving in our hearts, praise the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 tells us, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. On the second day of Advent, that is my prayer for all of us, that we remember that the Lord is with us and that in looking up to him, that we will find peace in our lives. May the Lord bless this message, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, and amen. Brother Mark.